Okay, welcome to our second talk in the first first session. Alexander Bokovoy from Red Hat will be talking about trusting Active Directory with free IPA, a story beyond Samba.
Okay, I already did a talk about free IPA and how we use Samba a couple years ago, and together with Andreas, we were able to make a brief demo at that point. Now, it's a talk about the progress that we made in those 2 years and a bit more details on what's behind the curtain. So I'll go through the what is free API shortly, then how we use cross-forest trust and how access to free API from Windows side works and how we are compatible with Active Directory. And free API is a toolkit built of the open source components that provides the LDAP-based store, which can be replicated over multiple servers. The formal kind of amount of replicas is in several dozens, thousands, but the practical environment, there are 40 to 100 servers running, replicating each other with tens of thousands of clients connected to those machines. It uses MIT Kerberos KDC as a core authentication piece. It integrates the certificate authority, so it's capable to manage own certificates, roll them in, roll them out, replace when it's needed, and so on. And it has a management toolkit written in Python with a web interface provided to that one and the command line interface. So it provides also mechanisms to segregate users, segregate machines, access to them, store pseudo rules centrally and distribute them, as well as SE Linux and other types of rules. Audit, as Sumit noted yesterday in his talk, is really not yet available, but there are other activities which we hope to integrate with later. And it all looks like this. There's three big blocks. The free IPA core is essentially an IPA server. The managed host, it's an IPA client. A client might be a really managed, like the one that you can configure with IPA client install utility, which then sets up needed components. The clients that are available and supported now are various Fedora versions, RHEL versions, Ubuntu, Debian, and I think partially OpenSUSE. There's at least a client support is there. And for the others, you can configure normal NSS LDAP, NSLCD, and other means to talk to the same LDAP server, but then you wouldn't have the rules applied on the client side. SSSD as a component itself supports multiple platforms. It can also work on various BSD versions and included in FreeBSD by default. So it's fairly widely distributed part. And then the management station is essentially any of those clients where you basically install a small frontend written in Python, and then it just uses or provides the command line tools to communicate to the server, or you can simply connect over the HTTPS to the browser and have the interface in the browser. Since the MIT Kerberos is in use as a there the free API itself is a fully managed Kerberos RHEL. So it can be integrated with Windows using the traditional way by saying that this is a MIT Kerberos RHEL, then creating identities on the Windows side, mapping the principles to those identities, and so on. So quite a lot of manual work. The other approach, and of course this doesn't scale. I've been talking this several years already. It simply doesn't scale. If you have thousands of users in the Kerberos realm, mapping them to Windows machines manually doesn't work. The way how Active Directory does this is combines the knowledge about the SMB domain information with the Kerberos realm and is capable to resolve identities by using the either LDAP or using the SMB protocol calls to convert the principal into the seed and get the required identities. So technically it's a KDC, LDAP, and a selection of SMB calls over the local security authority provider. And Free API provides all of those components. So it theoretically could be combined. So we spent like 3 years and got this working. And the full overview is like this. So we get a connections coming from the Active Directory domain controller to the Samba, and they process it by the LSA RPC responders, and then looking into the IPA LDAP server with the help with specialized IPASM PassDB module, and the same specialized driver in KDC is also looking into the same database. So that specialized driver here in KDC, they were extended to handle the trusted domains information and properly handle it. In particular, the IPASM PassDB backend that we developed, it used the same how we call this LDAPSM backend as code as a base. It improves the schema just because we needed to clean up it a bit over the time. Includes supports for multiple ranges from multiple replicas, because each replica gets its own part of the range. And then there might be multiple ranges associated with the trusted domains. And it also responds to the request from Windows side when the trust is established and creates the principle for the foreign domain in the LDAP server. On the KDC side, so we know how to process the MSPAC information based on the whatever we store it in LDAP. We add that to tickets of our users and also to the specialized principles like the host principle of the IPA master and the SIFS principle and also HTTP principle for the purposes of the web management tool. And we filter out seeds for incoming and outgoing trust connections so that we can block access for certain domains within the foreign forest or in ours on our side, that's equal. And we also verify and sign MSPAC for the users that are coming from the across the trusted forest rail. And we check authentication paths. And that all required to create certain additional plugins, plugin interfaces in MIT Kerberos. And some of those interfaces, they are already in place. Some are lagging, waiting for releases. And the last one that we needed, I will be talking a bit later about that, was released late autumn last year. So we have a command line interface, and that command line interface can be used to establish trust between IPA and the forest. And basically, the same approach is used for the for all operations, but the specialized thing with the way how we establish trust is that the server, you pass the request to the server uses Samba for Python libraries to actually initiate set of calls to a local SMBD process and to the DC on AD side, and use the Kerberos authentication towards the local SMBD and use the provided credentials of the administrator from AD when talking to AD. And then it basically does exactly what is done when you establish the trust between domains, but it's cross-forest. So technically, it looks like this. So here I have an admin ticket, and I can do trust add. I'll be asking for the password of the Active Directory domain administrator. And after some time, I'll get the response, basically displaying the information about the realm, seed, the filters that are set up, direction type, and that the trust status is established and verified. If you don't have credentials of the administrator from AD side, we can establish our part of the trust, and then the shared secret, the trust password, can be shared with Active Directory administrator, and that administrator can create its own part of the trust. Then the status here will be saying that waiting for verification. And the last thing that is not shown here, but which is done, is we traverse the forest and see what are the domains in the forest. So here I have a setup where I have two domains in the AD forest and one free APA domain, which is in this its own forest. So I have two domains fetched from that one. And now I have a setup where users from AD can try to connect to the free API resources and use them. There's, of course, a number of caveats, and let's see. So if the system was provisioned with the IPA client installed, then we have SSSD working on it, and SSSD on the client knows that it talks to IPA. And when it talks to IPA, it knows that IPA has trust established, and it fetches all the information about those domains. We call them subdomains in terms of SSSD. So it knows that certain realms, they belong to this trust, and it knows how to resolve the users, resolve the IDs, and basically the client system will talk to IPA master to do this resolution. This allows us to avoid running WinBind or any more complex configurations on each client. In a traditional scheme, if you have a member of the domain, then WinBind must run on every single machine. Now you don't need to have it. It's only master where it runs, and the request for resolution is delegated towards the IPA master. Still, there is some configuration that needs to be done. In particular, in the krb5.conf, we need to configure the mapping between principal and a local name authentication for authentication purposes, because certain software, namely SSHD, it is checking the consistency of what you get in the ticket as a principal name and what is the name locally that you connect into, and they must correspond to each other. And by default, SSHD lowercases the realm when it gets the user there. So for example, if I try to see my AD administrator user, you can see that all the names, they are normalized to the lowercase. That's because the AD is case insensitive in this area, and we can normalize them to avoid the typos and problems. Unfortunately, SSH itself doesn't really behave well. So we need to do this principal normalization on the other level as well. And currently, the way how you can do it in Kerberos is by building these auth to local rules, which aren't really complex. All they do is that they replace this at realm by lowercase version. But if you have multiple domains in a forest, then you have to repeat it for every single realm and on every single client. So we asked the MIT Kerberos team to actually give us an interface so that we could do it programmatically instead of modifying the configuration files. And 1.12 MIT Kerberos release that was released last autumn finally includes this interface. So once the 1.12 appears in the distributions, then SSHD can provide the plugin that will be hooked into the libkerb5 and launch it to normalize names according to what IP says for the trusted domains. And basically nothing prevents us to do this for the normal Samba 4 AD DC setups and so on. So this is the technology that can be reused. And so now I have a user from AD recognize it, and I can actually take a ticket and log in either from a Windows machine or a bit simpler to do it in a console here. So let's say I'm now an administrator from a child domain in the forest, and I'll try to SSH on this machine using these administrator credentials. So it uses the JSS API as an authentication mechanism and accepted the credentials. And I specified here the dash K capital that gives the delegation of the credentials, so they are actually here. And using these credentials, I now can access SMBD running locally, basically authenticate and book those credentials. Well, I don't have any shares available, but at least I have a IPC, so I can connect to IPC and do something with it. But it shows that this ticket can be successfully used for the user from the AD. Now the other part is that I can also log in into the graphical system, because it's all integrated and the graphical system will use PAM to authenticate. So now I will be using not a ticket that I just obtained, but I will be using just a password, because that's how the system works. And you can see that I have this trinity of administrators. And since all of them have GICS field set to administrator, one of them is the local IP admin. Another one is the admin from root domain from ID forest, and another one from the child domain from ID forest, and all of them have the same name. So in the GDM, I basically have all of them this way. So I did a bit of cheating here and assigned icons. And so the tennis ball is probably the root forest domain administrator. This football is the child, and you guess who is this. Okay, and then I just log in. Takes a bit of time and RAM, running 3 VMs. Essentially, at this point already, the AD user is a normal user on this system. So AD user, this is something. So let's see. That was the root domain administrator. And it has the Kerberos ticket automatically generated through the login by SSST. And actually, what happens is that GNOME actually tracks this ticket, and it shows that it's enterprise login coming through Kerberos, and you can use it for network resources and so on. And it will be actually looking up for the expiration of this ticket and will renew it again. So there's nice integration already with the desktop platform. Okay. All this looks like this for SSSD. So when a client comes, in our case that was SSH or it was GDM, when they come and try to resolve identity, they talk to NSS interface, and NSS responder, which is a small module, talks to SSSD cache. If it's not in the cache, then it goes to the SSSD backend. Identity provider talking to some server outside, and the authentication doing the same in the authentication path. Okay, so this is a bit more detailed configuration, what actually happens. So when you log in as SSH, we check the identity. That call for AD users gets forwarded towards the IPA master. The IPA master, depending on the version of IPA, either uses WinBind to resolve against the Active Directory, or it uses SSSD in newer versions that also talks towards the AD domain controllers. The UEGID return it back to SSH. GSS API used to authenticate. And then on this authentication, if it succeeds and there was a ticket and ticket had MSPAC, then the authentication part will forward MSPAC towards the PAC provider in SSSD, and that PAC provider will extract the data from MSPAC and will know that this user belongs to those groups in ID. So this allows us actually to save a lot on the communication, exactly like it was designed in AD case. And we also do background resolution of those seeds. So when you basically look at the administrator, you can see that all those seeds, they are resolved and basically shown as a groups, a group names and the other IDs. but this all works and fine if you have nice and kind of recent, for example, Fedora or RHEL or recent Ubuntu or OpenSUSE. But if you have old systems where you don't have SSSD that knows about the trusted domains in IPA, if you don't have SSSD at all, if you use Solaris or FreeBSD or whatever, you still can do integration with the Active Directory through IPA and the trust. We have this thing that we call legacy client support, and it was for a long time it was in the IPA just for re-exporting the IPA users through the schema that's understandable to all the clients, and that worked. So we added support to resolve the Active Directory users over the same tree. So that, for example, you have Solaris, you configure it against the compat tree in IBM, in IPA, and then what happens is that you suddenly being able to log into that Solaris box as Active Directory user. And this works for, at least we tried FreeBSD, we tried all the versions of RHEL and Ubuntu and other machines. So fairly good tool. And we have a specialized tool, IPA Advice, that can generate based on the configuration that you have on your machine, on your server. It generates recipes. It looks like this. Should I reduce the font a bit? So we have advices. There's advice for generic Fedora, generic FreeBSD with NSS, PAM, LDAP, just very old Red Hat. So it assumes certain configuration on the client. And then if you take, for example, this one, then you get a script. Now I'm a Active Directory user, not the IPA user, so I cannot generate this. Okay. Let's add the less to see the actual script. So it's a script that you can run on the client, and the script basically will fetch all the data, install the packages, and configure the system to look up against the tree, in the compat tree. And the way it's done is that when request comes from an SSL LDAP or other tools, they basically use the same filter for the LDAP query. And first we perform the search against the primary tree so that the IPA users get searched. If you don't find anything and you configure this to be to look at the SSSD, then we note the type of search where it maps. So we do a user by name, user by seed, user by ID, groups, and so on. And we call into SSSD. SSSD does the resolution, and we build up LDAP entry and return to the client. And the client thinks that that's just a user. It's all good and working, and I can show you an example. Let's say, So you get an entry that by NSSL DAP is treated as a user, and you get the GID, UID number, home directory, and we also return the seed so that the older versions of SSSD can actually take a note of it and supply it when needed, or you can configure Samba to actually use those seeds. And it all works, but there are some caveats. First, the name is fully qualified. And a very simple name like administrator at ad.sambaxp is 24 characters long. In many BSD systems, there is a limit for the usernames length. It's 16 characters, 8 in all the systems, 16 in most of the. Now, in BSD, this is a kernel compile time limit. So you need to recompile kernel to enable access. Otherwise, SSH, for example, cannot really see the user because the username returned by the NSS calls will give you a name that is shortcutted somewhere past 16 characters. There is a bug. It's claimed to be resolved, but even in the newer versions of BSD, FreeBSD 9, FreeBSD 10 still behave like that. OpenBSD is horrible in this sense. They are still at 8 characters. If you want to have a Kerberos authentication working, then you also need to configure kerb5.conf and add all these manual things on the clients. But still, it's a good replacement. You do centralize it. Place where you can store all this configuration. You do all the details on the masters, and in case your client uses SSSD, then you can use HBAC rules to limit who can access this machine and all these things. Now, I want to show you a small video. Courtesy of, where is it, HBAC team, of Sumit, who did a nice work on making a small, it's a 3-minute demo that shows how you can access it from the Windows, and how you can actually subject that access from a Windows to a limitation. So for example, first, we show that you can access it without any limitations, and then we take the host-based access rules, disable the rule that's called allow all. Unfortunately, it's a bit compressed because the video is for full HD, right? Yeah, and then enable rule SSH access. And the rule SSH access basically is for the users that are in the group SSH users. And IPA supports nested groups, so you don't need to put all the users in the same group. And yeah, we are not allowed to get inside because we are not in the SSH access group. But now, we can see that it's only a group SSH group that's allowed it to do the access. We go to groups, right? And we create a user group. There are two types of groups. One of them is the normal group, which has the GID assigned, so it's a POSIX group. Another we call external, which basically a container to store the references to seeds of the members coming from some external resource. So in this particular case, we can add domain users as external members of this group by name or by seed, depending on. And in the first versions, we had a seed there, but of course, this is not really practical. And then we added the resolution mechanism that basically returns the name to seed and then stores the seed there. And then we just add a normal group to a SSH group. So now we have a HBAC rule SSH access enabled that allows SSH users to access if they are part of SSH group. And here we have a ticket to IP. We removed the ticket, so it will have to authenticate and will have to go through the whole process. Yep. Okay, so compatibility part. Last year, during the PlugFest, interoperability PlugFest, and a bit later through the summer, the I think Daryl Welch's team actually took the Fedora 19 and FreeAPI 3.3, set them up themselves, and run two tests. Well, there are two test suites, I guess, quite extensive ones. So one of them is the configuration like I showed here. The Windows machine is a part of a Windows Active Directory domain, and then IPA is cross-forest trusted to that Active Directory domain. And the other one is a Windows machine is locally and manually enrolled into the IPA domain, which is something we don't really support, but it can be done. So the same test suite was run, and you can see that for the normal case, we almost there. There's few test cases that are still missing, and I guess most of them are, if I remember correctly, they are not really that important from our perspective.
Can I ask you what you do with claims? Do you
just we ignore them. Yeah, that's why.
It doesn't damage you.
Yeah, that's why we get some of them simply broken. Those tests are not passing. But there's 11 cases and they are the same in both of this. So basically, those 11 cases are what we miss in the. So I would say that we actually passed the test. But of course, there's a lot of things to implement. And for example, seed compression, it's not tested in the test suite. Maybe something that would be good to test. Some configurations like looping of the access where the principal from AD goes to a service in IPA and service in IPA on behalf of that user using S4U to proxy talks back to LDAP server in AD. So currently it's denied because there's no rule that allows to do it. But we would like to see it working because this is a normal case when you do an integration between different services. And we also plan to hopefully come in September and do the actual tests. And yeah, the demo was in parallel. Yeah, so questions. I will put slides in the usual place. The code is available. It's in the Fedora. It's in RHEL. RHEL 6 is tech preview, so-called. In RHEL 7, hopefully, it will be a full support. Multiple forests are supported through this mechanism, so you can do multiple domains in the forest and then multiple forests as well.
Thank you, Alexander. Are there questions? Are there any questions or comments?
Are you got a feel for how much take up there is, how much use?
Can we switch the recording?